I was asked to share a word that I came across during a workshop a little while ago, and it was so helpful to me. And it's around the whole area of caring for your soul, caring for yourself before the Lord as you serve the Lord amongst others. And I came across another extract from someone who ministers to people in this whole area of soul care. And this is an extract from something he wrote about a workshop that he held. And the facilitator asked, "What are the signs of soul neglect?" At first, the room was silent, and somebody ventured, "Anxiety." And then he thought, "They've got it." Once that one person started, others came up with other signs of soul neglect. Self-absorption, someone said. Shame. Apathy. Toxic anger. Chronic fatigue. Lack of confidence. Isolation. Sin becoming more attractive. No compassion. Self-oriented. Drivenness. Loss of vision. No desire for God. Can you relate to any of this? When you're distant from God, when you neglected your soul? And there was a sad feeling in the room. And then, to much relief, the facilitator turned the page and asked, "What emerges in your life when you're deeply connected with God? When your soul is healthy?" This page also filled quickly, but much more positively. Love, someone said, emerges. Joy emerges. Compassion. Giving and receiving grace. We heard a great deal about it this morning, wasn't it? The giving and receiving grace. We sung about grace this evening. Generosity of spirit. Peace. Ability to trust. Discernment. So how is your soul tonight? Is it all well with your soul? How do we care for our souls? Well, there are five key soul care keys that this guy told us about. And it flows out of Moses' experience through his journeys through the desert. And we're going to look at Exodus chapter... Make sure I got the right one. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. This is page 59 in the church Bibles, if you have one. It's just a backcloth to one experience of Moses. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." Verse 4, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." Lord, help us to draw near to you tonight. May we hear your voice speaking our name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here Moses saw this strange sight, this burning bush, but he didn't just see it, he decided to investigate. He decided to go over to take a look. So the first key is for us to pay attention. Pay attention to when God is doing something around us, saying something. We need to draw near, draw closer, get to hear what he's saying. You know, God has always got something to say to us. But we need to draw near, to pay attention, and to listen. Moses went over. And it says, "I will go over and see this strange sight." When the Lord saw that he had gone over, he called to him. Moses Moses. I wonder tonight if the Lord is calling to you, Margaret, Margaret, Anne, Anne, Josh, Josh. He is, you know. He wants your attention. He wants to restore your soul this evening. Pay attention when God does something. Draw near and hear what he has to say. Don't miss those opportunities. It may be something strange, but it may be something every day that God's doing around you. You just need to take note of it. One way you could regularly go over to see what God is doing and hear what God is saying is to take home what you hear on Sunday and look into it. Draw near. God, what are you saying to me? I've heard it today, but what are you saying to me? I don't want to miss a thing that you're doing or saying to me. So take the passage of scripture that was shared this morning or this evening. Look into it again. Get your own message from God. His words to you. So pay attention. That's the first key. Second key is to know that God has a purpose for your desert experience. Moses spent a lot of years, not his fault, but for the stiff-necked people he was leading. A lot of years in the desert. He had to navigate many, many miles, many, many days, years. And we cannot lead others out of the desert if we haven't been there ourselves. And what are the desert experiences that God has led you through? Know that he has a purpose for that desert. He wants you to be able to help other people to navigate through theirs, to their desert. Now, it's very difficult to picture deserts with all the rain we've had recently here. But, you know, there are different kinds of deserts. There are different kinds of wildernesses that we find ourselves in. Just think of some that come to mind to you. What are the wildernesses that you've been through? The deserts you've been through? Could be sickness, bereavement, unemployment, failed expectations, spiritual stagnation. When you go through such times as these, God doesn't want you to waste them. He has a purpose for them. To help others through the same wildernesses, through the same desert, to help them navigate their way through. There are lovely, lovely people in our church, as you know. And it's just wonderful to see how people do help others, especially when they've been through issues themselves. There was a dear woman in our church who had to face the wilderness of breast cancer and navigate her way through the pain, the fear. So it's one of those sicknesses that leave people feeling lonely, isolated. And she went through a very difficult time. God took her through, thankfully, to a positive conclusion. But not long afterwards, she helped someone else who had the same problem, had to face breast cancer, and she was there with that other woman, helping her through stage by stage, helped her to navigate her way through her wilderness. God has a purpose for your desert experience. And God wants you to pay attention to him. The third key, know your limits and rhythms of life, especially your spiritual rhythms that you need. You know, we can't do everything. So we need to know what we can do, what we shouldn't do. Moses had to learn that experience in Exodus 18. You know the story? He was trying to handle a million or so people, deal with all their problems. Can you imagine that? And his father-in-law, Jethro, comes alongside. Verse 18, beginning of verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw that Moses was doing for the people, what he was doing for the people. What is this he's doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening? Moses answered him, because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws. Moses' father replied, what you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees and laws, and show them the way to live, and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases, they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because you will share, because they will share it with you. That makes sense, doesn't it? Now, this is the context of leadership on a wider scale, but it's just as applicable in our own lives. Know our limits. Share the load. If there are others that can help do what we can't do, then share the load. Build a team that can help share that load. Secondly, build in those rhythms that are necessary for fruitful living, sustained, productive lives. Rhythms of rest, rhythms of reflection, rhythms of prayer, devotional times. Build them in so you can be sustained. You need your Sabbath rest. God doesn't need the Sabbath. You do. Ensure that you have that time of rest, that time of reflection, to draw near to God, to draw from him. You need your time for yourself. You need your time for God, as well as time for others. Know your limits and build in those spiritual rhythms. Remember to pay attention. Remember also, whatever you go through, God has a purpose. Fourth key is find community. Moses needed to work alongside these others and needed to spend time. He had the advice of Jethro, his father-in-law. We need people around us. We need to be part of a community. We're not meant to live this Christian life alone or do it alone. You know, unless we have to. We don't have to here. You know, we have people around us that we can draw near, and they can draw near to us. People that could pray for us. People we can pray for. People who counsel us. People who can share our struggles and our challenges. People who will ask us how we are, really. What is going on? Now, somebody asked me how I got on with my scan on Friday, which is nice, because you could say, hello, how are you doing, kind of thing. It's nice to be asked exactly what's happening in your life. People do care, and you need people who care around you. Most importantly, we need people who can, there's a phrase we often use here in the church, people who can lift your lid. Do you know what that means? Just encourage you as well and spur you on. And that can only happen in community, when you're part of a community. And if this is a missing element in your life, as you're part of the fellowship here, we can do something about it, folks. You don't have to leave it that way. You can speak to me, to David, to Rosie on a Sunday morning, and we can help you get into community and find it. Pay attention. God has a purpose for your desert experience. Know your limits and your spiritual rhythms. Find community. And finally, practice the presence of God. Go out of your way to be with God, that you may know His presence. There's nothing more wonderful, nothing more life-changing than to know God's presence, to feel His touch on your life. And that happens not accidentally. It's got to be a intentional thing on your part to seek Him out. Moses often had to go to the top of the mountain to spend time with God, to encounter God. And we all need these mountaintop encounters. They're worth the climb. They're worth the effort. Take time out. Meet with God. Let Him touch you and change you and fit you for all life has to offer, the challenges that are ahead of you. A heart after God is a heart that is content. A heart that is free. And being in His presence sets us free. When God is our desire, everything else doesn't seem to be so important, does it? You know? What happens when we look into His wonderful face? Things of earth go strangely dim. Absolutely. So He sets us free. He sets us free from the expectations of others. We don't have to live to please others constantly. If we're pleasing Him, if we're in fellowship with Him. We're set free from our inner compulsions, things that drive us. We're set free from addictions to performance, or to look good, or perfectionism, or to seek status, or power. And that's what God wants to do for each of us, to set us free, that we may enjoy Him, walking in His presence. Pleasing Him is the most important thing you could ever do for your life. Look, listen, again, it doesn't do God any good to please Him. It does us good to please Him. We benefit. We're the ones who are set free when we're walking close to Him. So pay attention. Know that God has a purpose for your desert experience. Know your limits and rhythms of life, especially spiritual rhythms. Find community. Practice the presence of God. Short, but hopefully important words to take home and to think about. Shall we pray? Father, thank You for Your desire to meet with us. Thank You that You know each one of us by name. Thank You, Lord, that You do want to speak to us. Forgive us, Lord, when we just pass You by, the things that You're doing by, without taking note, taking time to see what You're doing, to hear what You're saying. Help us to reach out to each other, Lord, and to walk in community. Thank You, Lord, for those who can share the load with us. Thank You, Lord, that You've given us Your word, and You've taught us to pray, so we can draw near to You, seek and experience Your presence. Just thank You, Lord, those mountaintop experiences were not for just a select few. We all have the same invitation to come and know You, encounter You, hear You speak to us. May we choose, Lord, to make those steps. Be determined to find ourselves in Your presence and to be set free. In Jesus' name, amen.